When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to the In Session Film Podcast, Extra Film Second for April 22nd, 2014. I'm JD Duran.
And I'm Dan Clark.
And this week on our Extra Film segment, Dan is joining us for his first ever Extra Film segment. He's been on the main show a couple times. But in case people aren't familiar with you, Dan, tell us a little bit about your podcast and where people can find you on the internet.
Okay. Well, actually, since the last time I was on here, I have a new podcast on the same network.
Yes, you do.
I'm on geekcastradio.com still, but my newest podcast is Talking in Circles, which you can get every Tuesday on iTunes or Geekcast Radio. It's kind of it's not movie specific, it's kind of just general pop geek culture type of stuff.
But. Sure. Yeah, and for those that have listened to our main show this last week, you probably heard their ad on our show. So thanks for that, Dan. It was good to get your show kind of featured on ours, and I like the new show. It's a lot of fun, so definitely go and check that out if you haven't. On this extra film, Dan is coming on for a very specific reason, because I know you really liked Under the Skin, which is the film that we're going to be talking about. And I've kind of had some mixed reactions on it, so this should at least be a fun conversation and debate as we get into that film. But before we do that, Dan, let me know how your week was going, or how was your Easter weekend?
My Easter went fine. I was actually had spring break. Well, not really officially spring break, but I was off last week. So
nice.
Got to do a little bit of vacation, came home for a little quiet Easter with some good food and watching some movies, which was nice. That was basically what I tried to do on my vacation was catch up on movies I've been missing.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, my week is going pretty good so far outside of I feel like I'm watching a lot of movies lately, as well as hockey playoffs is going on right now. So it's just that time of year for me. A lot of excitement going on, but very good stuff. And as of 2 days from now, when we're recording this, and most likely when it's released, it'll be the day of. It'll be exactly a month till my wedding, Dan.
Oh, wow.
I'm very excited. We're getting there.
Closer, yeah, I've been there.
I just can't wait for it to get here and be over with.
But, yeah.
Looking forward to it, though.
Well, a very early congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So, all right, Dan. Well, we got a fun conversation ahead of us, I'm sure of it. So let's get into it.
And here we go.
You're listening to the In Session Film Podcast Extra Film Segment. Well, Dan, I'm not even sure what to say to set up this clip.
Well, JD, I don't think there's anything you can say.
No girlfriend, really.
Oh, I don't have a girlfriend at all.
Very charming. It's better.
Yeah, sorted.
Handsome face.
Aye. Yeah. Thanks a lot, cheers.
Think I'm pretty?
Aye, you're gorgeous.
Do you?
Aye, definitely.
Good.
Aye, they've got a nice smile as well, whatever.
Do I?
Aye, big thing.
About your smile.
Aye.
You have a nice smile on yourself.
Cheers.
Good.
All right, Under the Skin is directed by Jonathan Glazer and stars Scarlett Johansson and then a bunch of other people. That really doesn't matter. But before we get into this, Dan, I think to properly discuss this, I think we do need to get into some spoiler territory. So fair warning to those that haven't seen the movie, much like we did with Enemy on our main show this last week, I think to really get into this in the ways that we need to, we're going to have to go there. So fair warning to everyone. Okay, well, usually this is where I toss it to our guests to kind of let me know what you thought about the movie. But I think we're going to kind of do a reversal of that this time, Dan, for a couple reasons. One, I put out a video review over the last weekend that kind of got a few responses because I know that my thoughts on this is very much in the minority. Also, when I did that video review, I was maybe a couple hours out from seeing it, so my feelings on it was very fresh. While I still stick to a lot of the things I said there, I do want to clear up a couple of things. Because one, I do think some of the things I said there was a little ambiguous, and I think that I fall into the trap of some of the stuff I was saying. Because I do like art films. I love films like this. In fact, the whole idea of us doing these extra film segments came from independent films or art films like this that we normally probably wouldn't discuss on our main show. So I wanted that to be clear because I did get a few responses back of people not understanding that. So it's nothing about the kind of film that this is. I was mostly using this film as an example, I think, for a larger thing or a larger observation that I've had about critics and other podcasts or things like that that I just kind of noticed that kind of drives me nuts. And that being said, I think that I also fall into that category. I think sometimes I also fall into that trap, but I think that's another debate we can have at another time. For Under the Skin, I've seen this twice now, Dan. The first time, you and I sort of talked about it a little bit on Twitter. I didn't really care for it a whole lot. I felt like it was too mundane. It was too dry for me, and I didn't really quite understand where he was going. To me, it just kind of felt like it was foundationless. I felt like it was a bunch of brushstrokes going all over the place that didn't really have any purpose driving them. And to a certain degree, I still feel that. But after a rewatch and after thinking about it a lot, I do think there's a lot of themes here about being a human, being a woman, and how isolation and loneliness can kind of play a factor in our lives, and how sometimes that can be a driving force for people. And that I did appreciate, especially on a second watch. Before I go any further, though, I know you know some of my thoughts and some of the stuff I said in my video review. I want to toss it to you because I know you really like this film. So what did you think about Under the Skin?
Well, like you mentioned, I was a big fan. I am a big fan of this film. And I see what you're coming from. Like watching this within the first, I would say, 5 minutes, you're like, okay, this is a movie that's going to drive people crazy and it's going to have some people who love it.
Sure.
And
sure.
I think what attracted me first to it, first and foremost is the score. I think just from the beginning, just the eeriness of it, the creepiness, it keeps you on edge.
Yeah.
And from that, it just got me in the right mindset and I was just transfixed. And I see what you're saying regarding the mundanity, and that is certainly there. It does not hold your hand, nor does it like even acknowledge the fact that there is anyone else watching this movie. It feels like Jonathan Glazer is kind of doing his own thing. And you get a lot of comparisons to Kubrick in that way, and how it's more about his goals and what he wants to accomplish more so than appeasing the audience, which I get that. But I think we talked about seeing this for the first time, and it's a movie that's just stuck with me for multiple reasons, for the visuals. We watch a lot of movies, mm-hmm. a great deal, old, new. And when you see something that you've never seen before or attempted, I mean, there's something appealing to that.
Yeah, sure.
Some that doesn't necessarily make it a great movie all the time, but I think within that experimentation, there was some literally some genius filmmaking and some really interesting themes that it went after. And I'll be honest, like I don't think I completely understand every aspect of this movie. I don't know if sure. I don't know if you possibly could.
Yeah.
I think if someone said, "Oh, I got this. I know exactly what everything is about." I think that person's probably lying.
Sure.
I know it's based upon a book, and I'm sure that probably gives you even more in-depth information about it, but I'm pretty sure that it's not going after the same things as a novel.
Sure.
But I think that's what kind of got me into it, just the universal themes, just its approach. I found it very moving in such a quiet way, the direction of it, and there's a lot of long takes, which is kind of commonplace when it comes to independent films. I feel everyone loves their long takes, but I think there's something about there are certain moments where there's certain visuals that are so gripping and so unique and so out of this world, and then there's ones that are just so mundane and so almost pathetic in just like how it views the world, especially when you see we're doing spoilers here, but when you see Scarlett Johansson's character kind of gain humanity. And how just the look of the film becomes, it's not as mysterious. It's more basic. And how what that means. And I don't know. That to me, and it was just, I hate saying this because I feel like it's kind of a cop-out, but it's less of a story. It's less of a narrative. It's more of an experience. And it's an experience that I really appreciated. But also, when I know we've even talked about this, I'm like, even when I wrote up my review, I'm like, I could see a lot of people hating this. And there are times when I love a movie and I will defend it and I will say, well, no, you're wrong. And this, I really don't feel the need to defend it because I don't think it's to make a movie like this to go to places it goes to. You're going to have people who don't like it. And I think that's okay. I don't think that's a bad thing.
Sure.
So it's almost a hard movie to debate in that way because either it's your thing or it's not. So. But I mean, that to me, it was my thing. So, and I mean, there are artistic films that are ambiguous that I'm not always the biggest fans of. A lot of people love like Holy Motors, and yeah. I wasn't as big a fan of that movie, and I don't really know why. It just didn't work for me.
Sure.
And I think maybe since this is even more ambiguous, and it even leaves up for more interpretation, that maybe that even made it more of what I appreciated. I guess I don't know.
Sure,
it felt. More like I said, it's just that experience that was something like I haven't really done before.
Yeah.
And within that uniqueness, I just fell in love with it. It's probably my favorite film of the year so far. Maybe if I rewatched it again or I gave it some time, would I feel strongly? I don't know. But something about that first time watch is pretty powerful.
Yeah. And that I think will definitely lean you one way or another. And one thing you kind of mentioned that I do think is important is the fact that, and this kind of goes back to what I was saying before, that it's not necessarily the kind of style that this film is, or that this is a quote-unquote art film. I think for me, and I think for a lot of people, it'll just kind of depend on whether this style speaks to you. Is there anything that you can grasp onto? Are these themes even something that entertain you, or what are you looking for out of this film? And I think that's a lot of the things for me is I love watching stuff like this, but for me, there just wasn't a whole lot of things for me to grasp onto, at least the first time around. I'll say that on a rewatch, I was able to get a lot more, and I think it's because I knew where the mundane parts were, I knew where it was going to be dry, and I knew where I was going to get lost, and so that probably helps, and I think that's okay. I think like you're saying, sometimes with some of these films, you got to rewatch them a couple of times to appreciate them or to really grasp what you want to get out of it or what the director is trying to do here. And I think for me, I'm so mixed on it because there are so many elements here that I can definitely grasp onto. And then there are other elements that happen that I feel like completely take me out. And maybe it's probably on purpose because I feel like the director is wanting you to guess as to what is happening. And every time you think that you might have an idea of what's going on, it goes into a different direction that makes you wonder what the heck is going on. And that happened for me. I think specifically one of the times it did that for me was after the first couple of guys that Scarlett Johansson's character kind of brings into this house, which is just kind of weird all in itself. But I'll say, going back to something you said early when you were first talking about it, is that the visuals here will absolutely capture your attention in some way or another. I mean, it's just crazy as to what's going on as she's bringing these guys into this dark void, essentially, yeah, as they're walking into nothingness.
It's like liquid jello.
It is. Yeah, so I don't know what that was all about. But so she brings these guys in, and then she meets up with another guy who has some disease or something. His face is kind of all messed up, and she has a ride with him in her van, which was a very strong scene for me. I actually really enjoyed that scene, but it was more of the after effects of her bringing him into the house, him leaving, even getting out of that house, which is crazy all in itself, him walking into a field, which felt like way out of nowhere, and then a guy picking him up and driving away, I felt like had nothing to do with trying to tell what I thought he was trying to tell. And again, like you said, it's impossible to grasp everything about this film, so perhaps I'm missing something there. But it was just things like that. I felt like that kind of took me out because I feel like it went away from what I thought he was trying to say. And so for me, that's the kind of stuff I was referring to when I felt like it was just a bunch of random brushstrokes at times, because it felt like it was... That's exactly what it was. It had no purpose for anything. While other parts of the film, I do feel like it was much stronger on a rewatch. But I don't know, maybe there's something different there for you than what I got of it. But I struggled with some of those parts.
I guess to go to the moment you specifically mentioned, like I'm guessing he had like elephantism or whatever it's called, the thing like that the elephant man had. I'm not sure. But
sure,
what I took out of it with him, I assume that she let him go. Like when she walked down the stairs, she saw her reflection. To me, it looked like it was her. She felt during that conversation, it sounded like she felt compassion for the first time.
But did he not like go completely under the liquid or whatever that was?
I believe, like, it was my understanding, it seemed like she did perhaps, but whatever happened, she ended up letting him go somehow. Like he didn't get out of there. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my understanding. Was when he saw the reflection, yeah, you saw her. I think you saw her looking at herself, and it looked like
she had a moment there. That's for sure.
Yeah, for the first time, you see something. She's always had a cold demeanor, one where she had no remorse, and there was a sign of remorse there. And then you saw him walking free, and I assumed based upon that was her doing. And then as he got back to her. To his, I guess, house. I would assume that was his house. That the person that picked him up was that whatever that guy who was working with her from the beginning, and him kind of taking care of him anyways. And what I saw regarding that, like that, why having that happen, it was her trying to basically break free from her restraints that were placed upon her. Like there's a running theme of gender roles here, where her as a woman was, my understanding was her role as a woman and the different role she was forced to play. And as she was trying to break free from that, her attempts were even feeble at times. And that was an example of that. Even though she tried to show compassion,
sure.
The world or the people controlling her wouldn't completely allow her to succeed in her goal. And to me, that looked at her trying to build herself up to only be taken down from other people. I could be completely wrong about that, but that's what I kind of took out of it, because you see her gaining her humanity within that. But
and I guess that would make sense, because I think it's after that moment is where the film really picked up for me, especially the second time around, because she goes to a restaurant and she tries to eat a piece of cake and she can't do it. And to me, that was interesting, knowing that she's trying to become that human person. She's trying to fit into this culture, even though it didn't really quite work. And then she also has an intimate scene with a man. And I may be reversing these scenes, but my point is...
Yeah, you're correct, because after that, she walks down that hill.
And so she has this intimate scene, which she knows is what people do. And as they start to have sex, it freaks her out, because she's like, I don't know exactly what this is. And she like goes to check herself, which I thought was kind of interesting. And so to me, I think in those moments, and again, maybe I'm wrong, but when she's starting to wanting to become that person and she's trying to explore that idea of what it means to be human, I was able to get on board with that. I thought that was kind of interesting, especially as it leads to the final sequences of the film, which is kind of arduous in some ways to watch. But once that scene happens at the house with that guy, for me, I think the rest of the film kind of worked a little bit more. But I don't know. What did you think about all that?
Well, regarding the scene, well, I guess I'll just go back a little bit. Regarding the scene with her and the intimate moment and her checking herself, I took that as almost it wasn't working because she didn't have the right equipment.
No. It wasn't that. Yeah. I felt like it was just more, it was her understanding of her. She didn't know exactly what was going on.
Yeah. And you see her trying to basically, like, okay, what is this thing that people want from me? And trying to understand it and failing there too. Regarding like near the ending, what I saw with like her, with that scene at the end when she, you know, in her skin, you know, you see what's under the skin, you know, to be kind of corny. I think there's something there when the fact that it comes after, like right after her becoming like sexually abused by that guy.
Sure.
And I think, I don't like, to me, I thought that I kind of connected those very closely where you see her attack. And then underneath that, you have this very dark and kind of uncomfortable person that is rejected immediately and then basically tried to be destroyed. So I looked at that more than just her becoming humanity, but I thought there had to be something within that regarding whole sexual encounter and how.
And, you know, and for clarity, you're talking about the second sexual encounter she has, correct? Where she's in that like stone house or whatever and that guy shows up.
Yeah, the one who kind of assaults her in the woods and she runs away.
Yeah.
That to me, I felt like the fact that her skin and like under her skin was starting to show after that, I felt that that was a reflection of it. And that, like, that image of her skin falling off and, you know, whatever she looked like, that, like, of all the images may stick in my head more so than anything. It just, with the white background of the snow and just like the sleek, like gray, like coal gray, of the look, it was like, that to me was like, wow.
Yeah. And then, she's basically holding Scarlett Johansson's face still in her hands.
Yeah.
And you can still see like the head moving.
Mission Impossible masks.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. That imagery there, I felt like was pretty arduous because, I mean, she's basically losing herself. And it's at that point you realize that what she was trying to do as far as being a person or being a woman just wasn't working. And then, of course, then she's killed. And then that's the end of the film. And you're like, what the hell was that all about?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, like I said, like if I was to sit here and say, like, I know everything, I don't. Like, there's still questions I have, but I think it's good to kind of have those questions. Like when not like sometimes when you have a movie like and you're like, okay, there was just no answers there. Just be someone being weird for being sake of weird. But here, I think there was something there. And I really think it has to do, like, I look at this more than just her becoming a human. I think there's a factor here regarding just, you know, femininity and the effect it has and like the restrictions of it, you know, that viewpoint and how the destruction, like why she was destroyed and why she was put up in flames after she basically attempted to reject the role she was given. To me, that just, like you said, not just even the failure to become human, but the failure to break away from the restrictions, even if it's regarding human restrictions or just the restrictions of her gender. And I think too, it's something to kind of go back a little bit. The fact that Scarlett Johansson's really the only real actor in this, and how mostly everyone else is just people that they literally meet on the street, and how she's meeting these people, they don't even recognize who she is, and they don't try to like hide the fact. I mean, I know this was shot, like this was taken forever to make, so people may have not even known her by then. But I think that's even like a meta moment per se, where they're using her fame and how people don't recognize her without her common look. I think there was a purpose behind that more so than just to get common people, but. I guess that's a question. Did you find it those moments odd at all, knowing that those guys, most of those hitchhikers or guys on the road are not actors, but just normal human beings?
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. And I've heard that before, that they didn't recognize her or whatever. They're just kind of real guys off the street. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. She obviously doesn't fit in with the rest of the people there. She's got a very different accent. And you can tell that that's not necessarily her home. So, and I don't know. I don't know much about, what was it, Scotland, I think, is where it takes place or something like that. So, I mean, I don't know the culture per se to know how well they would know her. And like you said, this was filmed quite a while ago, right? So
it took, I know it took about 10 years to make. His last Glacier's last film was Birth, which was, about 2004. And he's been working on this. I doubt he's been shooting for 10 years, but I'm sure. A lot of this footage
That is kind of interesting. I think it does kind of play into the realism that you can kind of feel there in those sequences, as those guys are not exactly sure how to react. And especially once they start going into this abyss, they're not, you could definitely see it on their faces. They didn't know exactly what was going on. And I don't think I would either. So, like, I don't think many people do.
I don't think at the time they. Yeah. only thing I wish, I kind of wish they had subtitles. I mean, what they're saying isn't too important, but it was hard.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I agree. Some of those accents are real thick. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At first, I'm like, are they in Russia? Because I really understand nothing.
Sure.
But you get enough. You understand that she's trying to get people that don't have family or don't have roommates or are going to miss them if they're gone.
Yeah.
But
one thing that I would be real curious to hear this, and I haven't seeked it out yet, but I think I probably will soon, is, and maybe you have, so I'd be curious if you know what this looks like from a women's point of view, which obviously we can't really portray. But I think one of the things I found fascinating about Enemy is that, to me, that film spoke a lot about masculinity and what it means to be a man. And obviously that's something I can relate with. And I think here, while you can get themes of what it means to be human, I also think you could get a lot of what it means to be a woman, especially when you talk about the intimate moments of this film. I don't know if you've heard any thoughts about this from a woman. I haven't yet, but I'd be real curious to see if that translates at all, because I think it would, and I think it'd be kind of fascinating to hear.
No, I personally haven't. I mean, I didn't take my wife to see this because I know she would have hated it and looked at me like, why did you drag me to this weird movie? But I'm sure there are certain aspects to it that, just based upon our biases of being guys, that we would not be able to relate to. But I mean, I could kind of understand it, but that personal connection obviously is impossible.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I did take my fiance to see this, but she had no idea what was going on. This is not like her. She doesn't like watching this kind of stuff. She would just watch The Notebook all day long if I let her. So like that's her cup of tea. So this was a big stretch for her, and I love her to death, but I wouldn't necessarily count on her to give me that kind of input, at least not with a film like this. But I don't know. I'd be kind of curious. If there's any females out there listening, please hit me up. I would love to know your thoughts on that. But
to go to one moment that did, not that I could completely relate to, because I don't have a kid, but the scene on the beach and with the crying baby, and having kid relatives. I grew up in education, and seeing a kid on a beach alone crying, and just how unnerving that is.
Yeah,
and
that was,
and that whole entire
hard.
Scene might actually be one of my favorite moments, just because of, in the entire, I talked about the score, and a lot of the score is, it's very uproarious and always there, but I found it interesting that one of the quiet moments was like that drowning sequence. And you talked, and then to me that's when it used its mundanity in really effective ways, because just how quickly and how you see the bobbing head, and then one wave goes and the head's no longer there, and you kind of know what happens. And that it's, in so many other movies, that would be this, like, you know, nail-biting, jaw-dropping type of moment. But this, it's just kind of, it's very pulled back within the camera. You're viewing it from a very far distance.
Sure.
And to me, that just, it's within that moment, I think being mundane in that moment made it stand out. It was so unnerving within seeing that. And then with the crying baby and her going back at night and still there, that was just, you know, it was hard to watch.
I completely agree. It's perhaps the most arduous thing to watch until you get to the final scene of the film. And yeah, you're right. It's real difficult. And I think it does showcase kind of where she was in the beginning, where and how that could affect her. I think by the end, it would have been something that affected her more as she experienced all these other things. And so I think to see that contrast is interesting, but it is difficult. I completely agree. How that kind of fits into the rest of the narrative, Don't ask me. I have no idea. But
I couldn't tell you that either.
Which is why, in a lot of ways, while I can understand those themes are present, as we've discussed, and I can appreciate them, it does just feel like a bunch of different scenes just kind of stitched together that can feel separate from one another. And I think some of them work for me and some of them don't. That's definitely one that's effective. I think many others aren't, but I don't know. I think that's what's can be interesting about this film for a lot of people is it's just a bunch of chaos. At least for me.
I guess it is a movie that there is a through line there. I mean, obviously with her changing of humanity and how it's even reflected in the score. But I don't think it being jumbled or being kind of just random examples is necessarily a bad thing or necessarily not on purpose. Like, I think that is certainly intended. And I don't think this is a movie that's really, it doesn't seem like Jonathan Glazer is really concerned with really developing a narrative or making a sort of plot in any sort of way. I think he is more focused on the experience and the change of the character in those moments. And I think without those things that fill in the dots or, you know, the things that kind of give you more exposition, because there's none.
Sure.
If I didn't know the plot synopsis going into this, I think I would be even further lost. I'd have no idea what's going on. But I didn't have an issue with that, but I could see why you would. I just looked at it as more so an experience, less so like a plot or narrative. It's more so trying to just focus in on the specific moments. And within that, you do lose something. I mean, you do lose like a through line, like you say, or an example of explaining, well, what's the purpose of this moment? You don't always know. Maybe there really isn't a specific purpose. Maybe it is just, I want to make you feel on edge.
Sure.
So, but I do understand where that could give you a disconnect, because it is very standoffish. It does not give you a lot to grasp onto. I mean, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And and that's definitely why I struggled. It was just hard for me to latch on to anything. And many of the scenes to me felt mundane. And like I said, there's things to appreciate here, but I don't know, for me, it was just hard to interweave in and out of that engagement. And by the end, I was kind of really taken out, at least the first time. And like you said, this is really more about an experience. I think for those that sat there in my position and really struggled with this film, I would challenge those people to watch this again and not necessarily think about the mundaneness and the ambiguity, but just try to focus on the performance of Scarlett Johansson, which I think is fantastic, and just kind of the humanistic viewpoint that this character is trying to go through. I think if you can latch on to that, while I do think they kind of interweave in and out of that, at least for me, I do think there's enough there that can get you through the film and things that you can appreciate on the other end once you kind of digest it for a little bit. And for me, this is just one of those films I'll have to sit on, and I can probably appreciate more over time and with more rewatches. Just right now, I'm just kind of in that middle ground right now.
Yeah, and I could really get that. Like, this is a movie that is going to let you know if you're going to like it right away.
If you're not
into it within the first 15 minutes, you might as well just get your money back. And
sure,
I'm curious. Did you have anyone walk out in your theater? I had a few people who were just, they were done and they walked out.
It was funny enough. There wasn't a whole lot of us there. There was maybe like 7 or 8 people there. But I had that thought, and in fact, I was sort of kind of talking about it with Brandy about 3/4 of the way through the movie. I kind of leaned over and whispered to her. I said, I'm kind of surprised no one has left this theater yet. I mean, there was only like 8 of us, but it wouldn't have surprised me. And I've heard different stories. I know our former co-host, Scott Pollard, said that he had like 3 or 4 people walk out of his viewing in like 15 minutes.
And so, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people know it. The sad part is a lot of people know this movie first because Scarlett Johansson gets naked, and that's like pretty much it. Which, and then, you know, they get this art film and they're like, what is this?
And to me, it's not really about that. In fact, even in my video review after that first watch, I said Scarlett Johansson naked wasn't enough to engage me in this film. Like, that's how disconnected I was. But there's obviously a lot more to it than that. But Yeah, she was naked quite a lot. So for those out there that are looking for that, there you go. All right.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, Dan, any final thoughts, and what grade would you give Under the Skin?
Final thoughts. It's a movie that is it's a movie that has stuck with me since I've watched it. I go through it in my head over and over, almost nearly every day since I've seen it. And it's also a movie I really want to go see again. Like I said, though, I completely get why people would be turned off to this movie, but I wasn't. Sure. I really enjoyed it, and I was just taken back by it from the beginning to the end. If I was going to give it a grade, I'd give it an A for sure. It's probably my favorite film of the year so far, and I could see it making my top 10 at the end of the year. So,
very nice stuff. I know you're definitely in the majority in that, and I've gotten a lot of feedback from people saying that they really loved it. I think for me, the first thing, again, if I offended anyone with my comments in my video review, I apologize, because it was definitely not about that. And like I said, I was using this film as kind of a crutch to make a bigger point about something else. But I think when it comes to this film alone, I think Scarlett Johansson is fascinating. I think she's really great. I do think that there are themes here to really appreciate. And I do think it's kind of fascinating to see this really unique look at trying to be a human and kind of what that means. And I can appreciate it on those levels. But for me, it was just too slow, too methodical. I just didn't really care for these kind of what I felt like was random brushstrokes. But there are some scenes that are really strong and some scenes that I think will definitely stick with you throughout the year, as we kind of touched on. I didn't talk about it as much. I know you kind of talked about it quite a bit. But the score here is pretty fascinating. It's pretty great. It's very kind of dark and creepy and all those kind of things that you would really need to kind of project those kind of feelings that they were going for. So I thought it was used really well. I would totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. It's like it's honestly like a horror movie score at times.
Yeah,
I feel like I said on edge. It's a key emotion. I think you feel multiple times, and the score is a big part of that.
So. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. A big part of the movie. So there are definitely things here to appreciate for sure. I think the first time I graded this in the video review, I gave it a D+. And I also said it was one of the worst films of the year that I've seen. And that's definitely not true. That was more of me letting my emotions get the best of me there. That's definitely my bad on that. But I think after rewatch and after kind of sitting on this for a little bit, I definitely still have problems with it. But I'd kind of sit more in the C+, B- range. And that could change over time as I think about it more, and maybe more rewatches that could change. But I think that's kind of more realistically kind of where I'm sitting with it. So like I said, if you do want to check out my review, it is on our website at incessionfilm.com. And you can also see it on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/incessionfilm. Dan, I also know you have an interesting review that I've read a couple times, actually. where can people find your review?
They can find all my stuff at geekcastradio.com.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me on this extra film. It was definitely a great conversation, and thanks for pulling back in some of these themes and scenes that I had no idea what was going on. So,
I was just my best guess, to be honest.
Sure. That's about all you can give with a film like this. So, again, one more time, where can people find your podcast at?
On iTunes, it's Talking in Circles, and the website is geekcastradio.com.
And they can find you on Facebook and Twitter as well?
Yeah, on Facebook, I am at Movie Revolt, and on Twitter, Geekcast Radio or Talking in Circles, GCRN. You can find me there. So
awesome. Definitely go check out his stuff. It's really, really great stuff. Thanks, Dan, once again for joining me. I definitely appreciate you being here.
Well, thanks for having me, for sure.
Absolutely. And if you want to comment, let us know if you agree or disagree. Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/incessionfilm. You can also hit me up on Twitter at incessionfilm. You can email me anytime, incessionfilm@gmail.com. I definitely love to hear your thoughts on this. And like I said, if there's any women out there, I would definitely love to hear your thoughts on this. So please hit me up. I'd be really curious to hear what you think. But anyway, before we get out of here, real fast, I also just want to say a quick shout out to James Shaw, who's been writing for us on our website. He came on our last podcast that just came out this last week, where we discussed Transcendence. and Enemy starring Jake Gyllenhaal, which was a film I really, really enjoyed. We also talked about our top three directorial debuts. So be sure and go check out episode 61 that is on iTunes, Stitcher, and also on our website, incisionfilm.com. Before we get out of here, Dan, any final thoughts on anything?
No, just like I said, go see Under the Skin. Even if you don't like it, I think it's a movie that you should see.
Yeah. It's definitely polarizing. It'll give you something to think about.
Yeah.
Or complain about. So.
Either way, you'll have something to talk about.
So. Exactly. So definitely go check it out. Thanks again, Dan, for joining me. Thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you guys next time on the Incession Film Podcast Extra Film segment.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.